Good morning. We don't need this, right?
No.
We are going to turn to Hebrews 11. We're back in the old times. We know who used to make it. Was always the guys that made the coffee. That's how we know, because of Hebrews. Little dad joke for you. So, we're going to talk a little bit about faith today. And do we have faith on a regular basis? Do we use our faith? And things like that. Hebrews 11, we'll just start in 1, and we're going to read a bunch, and then we'll keep reading through this chapter. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that we should not see death. That he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he commended the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of the promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of a land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Let's just open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done for us. And we just thank you for this time that we have here to come and look at your word and learn about you. And please let your words be spoken and not mine. And again, we just thank you that we could come here freely and talk about you. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. So, faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Do we use our faith on a daily basis? Not just like with God. Do you use your faith? You guys, yes, no? You guys? So, is that something that's hard to do? Use your faith. Is it hard to tell other people about your faith in God? And when those opportunities come up, are you even looking for those opportunities, or do you try to avoid them? I know some days I encounter a lot of people at my job, and most of the time they're in a good mood because we're at the golf course. And someone will bring up something about God, and there's an opportunity, right? We could talk about God. When someone brings it up in your everyday, what do you do with it? Are you too tired some days and you just like let it go? Do you invite them to church? Well, they probably go to church. They brought up God. Like, what do you do? And with me personally, sometimes I won't want to get into the conversation. There's been times where I wouldn't want to. And so I would try to like kind of steer clear of it. Is that something that God would be happy about? And probably not. Because we're here to spread the gospel, right? We're supposed to go out and spread things. Spread about the good news. If we had won the lottery or something like that, we'd probably have no problem telling anybody, right? So why is it that sometimes we avoid that situation? When you look at all these people in this is like the faith chapter, and it's we brought up a couple people in here, and we talked about Noah, Abraham, Enoch. There's several other people. If we keep going through, there's David, Samson, and something about these people. They've all kind of messed up in their life somewhere along the line. I know with myself, sometimes I don't feel worthy to bring it up and, you know, say that we're going to church and all this stuff. And are we being a good example on a regular basis? So I was thinking about this analogy, this guy I heard, and he was talking about flying a kite. Have you ever tried to fly a kite? I remember growing up, my friend really liked kites. We never really flew them that often, but we drove all the way out to Rhode Island because he had like four new kites. And like one was just like a normal string one, and we were by the beach, and so the wind's always coming in, and we like threw it up in the air, or you had to run a little bit, and we got the thing to go up in the air, and we flew that one. It was easy, and the wind kind of just did its own. And then we got all the way to like the super fancy one that he had, and it was this big one, and it had two strings, and you were able to like, if you were good at it, you were able to like make it like swing around and do all these fancy things. We couldn't get it up in the air, like, and then we finally get it up in the air, and like, he's got the two handles, and then it would fly, it just go straight into the ground. And then we would put it back together, and we'd get it up in the air, and be up there for 5 seconds, straight into the ground. And sometimes that feels a lot like life. Like you try to do good, and then boom, straight into the ground you go. And then you pick up, and you're like, all right, I'm going to do this again. And then boom, straight into the ground. Faith is a lot like a muscle, where if you don't use it, it starts to go away. You know, and it's something that is needed to be worked on and used constantly. We feel like it's getting colder out, and like everyone feels the temperature. We went from, summer to winter in 1 week last week, right? We had that. It was like 85 on Monday, and we had that heavy frost on Friday. So January 1st is coming up, and everyone's gonna get their gym memberships, and for the first 2 weeks, they're gonna go crazy, right? And try to get all your workouts in that first 2 weeks. And then it just drifts off. You can't work out for the entire year in January. It just doesn't work. You would have to continually do it. And that's a lot like the faith. We may have great faith the one day and do all these things and trust in the Lord, and then the next day there's not much. So we got to continually work on it. And I think about we say all the time, just trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. But if you don't do anything with that, nothing happens. I'm looking for a verse. I lost it. I lost But let's talk about Abel for a minute. Genesis 4, we'll just start in verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, "I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord." And again she bore his brother Abel. And now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of the time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it." Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." So I kind of think it's funny that he tried to hide it. There was how many people on the earth at that point? Like four. And so if somebody else is doing good in faith, do we get a little jealous of that? Are we a little taken back by, well, they're more spiritual than me, so I don't really deal with them much. Or, how would we handle that situation where he tried to do something and he did it wrong? And then he would have had to ask for Abel's help to do the sacrifice correctly. So right there he had, no humility, and he wasn't working with faith. 1 John 3:12, "We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you do not know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? So little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So right there, love in deed and truth. So go do something about it. So there was Cain's and Abel's. Cain's and Abel's. Then next is Enoch. Enoch became very old. So Genesis 5. Starting 18. When Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, can we say that we walk with God? You know, when you're going about your everyday life, you have friends, right? You have close friends, you have acquaintances. There's certain people in your life, I know growing up, you may not want to say that you're associated with. I was talking with a brother this morning, and we were talking to somebody else that in his earlier life was into drugs and things like that, and he now doesn't have many friends because everyone then, like, they would get into drugs and do bad things and stuff like that. So now they don't have many friends. He's separated himself, and now he's doing much better. So who do we surround ourselves with? Are we putting ourselves around good people? Are we putting... And when we are around those people, are we fellowshipping, real fellowship? Are we talking about God? What are the things that we talk about? Enoch walking with God and just being taken up, you know, that's the faith Enoch must have had going and just, and it says that during that time, like, the world wasn't in a good place. Anytime I see an E name, I always think of Elijah and Elisha. And you got the story of the whirlwind. And I remember Elisha asked Elijah for the second portion. He wanted a double portion of what he had. And then we had the whirlwinds come and the chariots of fire. And just the faith that Elisha, just watching him go, to not look away. And if we were ever in that situation, would we look away? Recently, I got to see a giant bear, like, walk across the golf course, and you know, there's people on either side, and this giant bear just moseys his way. It's not a care in the world, and everybody watched the bear, and it wouldn't even be, you know, it'd be 500 feet away from somebody, but they were watching the bear. If that bear would, you know, and he didn't look at anybody, he didn't bother with anybody, but if we had to stare at something for Jesus and a bear was walking by, could we look away, or would we have to, like, make sure the bear wasn't coming after us? What would you do in that situation? How do we work on our faith day to day? So, First Chronicles 28 is verse 9. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Be careful now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. In Haggai 2:4, it almost says the same thing. Yet now be strong, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. It says this multiple times. Be strong and do it. So, being strong and do it made me think of two people, which are both in this chapter, is Noah. I gotta find where Noah is. But Noah, there he is, he's in verse 7. Noah, we're Genesis 7, verse 1. Read a little bit of Noah's story. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, and you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all the clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the heavens, also male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain, and on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. That's verse 5. Noah had did all that the Lord had commanded him. And you think about the story of Noah. He built this ark for 120 years. He built it in a place that never really saw rain, like ever. This ark was huge. It was roughly 475 feet long, 75 feet wide, and had 3 tiers. The amount of money or time and time spent building this thing in a place that had no rain. Can you imagine the ridicule that he and his family must have gotten? During that time, he was supposed to preach and tell them that the floods were coming. Never mind rain, a flood in a place that doesn't even rain. And he had to do this for 120 years. Can you imagine the faith it took to do that? If we were set up in the same situation, could we do it? And then nowadays we don't live as long, so we'll just say 12 years. Could you do it for 12 years? Could you do it for 12 months or 12 weeks or how about 12 hours? And it's the amount of faith that that took to do, and it says it's very important that it says he did all that was commanded. You know, when our boss tells us to do something, or you kids, if your parents tell you to do something, do you do all of it? Do you do it right away? Do you, if the Lord asks you to do something, do you say, "Well, I'll get there when I get there"? And are we listening to what the Lord wants? And one thing is, how do we know what the Lord wants for us in our life? So Does anyone know? How do we know? In the Bible. You gotta have a real relationship with God. And if you continually with God and working on your faith, so just like the workout thing, you can't, if you want to learn something from God and want God to speak with you, you can't spend just that one day with him. It's a real relationship every day, all the time. And if you love somebody or love something, you're going to want to constantly do it or be around that person. So are we like that with God? Or do we only call on him when we need him? Are we thanking him for things as much as we ask him for something? But Noah is just a very impressive, faithful person. One thing God sent us to show that he's never going to flood the earth again, what is it? It's a rainbow, right? And what's I find very interesting about that is back then, one of the main weapons was a bow. So as you're reading the verse, it says that God sends a bow as a reminder that he'll never flood the earth again. Back then, a bow was a weapon. You know, when these warriors would come home and things like that, and where would you think they would put their like main weapon? So like if you were to go to the fair right now and buy a samurai sword or something like that, where would you put it? Probably somewhere very visible. Like I would want to put it on the mantle. My wife would never let me, but I think it would be cool. It'd be like a showpiece, right? If you watch any of those old samurai movies, like they have like a room dedicated to their warrior stuff. So he takes a bow, which is kind of like a sign of strength, I guess you could say, and he makes it into a promise. And I just think that's amazing that God can take something like that, and where some people would be afraid of it, and makes it a comforting look. And then he did it with the pretty colors and all that too. And our God, because our God's amazing. In verse 23, we have Moses. And we all know the story of Moses and how, you know, Moses was supposed to be killed, and then they put him in the basket, and then he went to the Pharaohs. And I find Moses' story very interesting because he decided to not live in the life of luxury and then to really help all his people. And I don't know if you've ever met somebody that's famous and or of back then, like the king and all the power and stuff. But when you meet somebody, if you were to meet the president or governor or something, you would tell people about it. Be like, hey, I met the president and it was cool, or I met this guy and it was cool, or a celebrity. Moses, or talking to the king and stuff back then, they had to do it very reverent. Moses, his life, he grew up there. So then when he went to go talk to them, he was able to talk to them different because he grew up there. And he had no fear talking to the king. I just thought that was interesting how God groomed his life for that whole purpose. And, you know, Moses had no choice that he was put in the basket and all that stuff. And then his mother was still able to take care of him. But look, if you look at Moses' life, and you can really see that God has a plan. If we tried to, you know, schedule our life or somebody else's life or life like Moses, there would definitely be flaws in it, right? We'd mess up here and there. But the way God just takes care of everything and puts random things that we see as random, but it's God's perfect plan. So, how do we work on our faith every day? What's something that we can do to work on our faith? Put something in the closet, and then because you can't see it, like what's something that you can do? Do what? Be in His Word. You pray, and you have a relationship, a real relationship with God. Should you go out and talk to people? Should we look for opportunities to talk more about God in our everyday life? Each person's should have a different answer, or some of them will be the same, but other ones will be different. But looking at this faith, and then it says in Matthew, it only takes a mustard seed to move a mountain. You know, do we have that faith? It talks about Abraham. I don't know if you know the full story of Abraham, but he's also an interesting guy. He was kind of well off, and then God had him go to a land that he didn't even know about. And then the Lord said he was going to have a baby, even though Sarah was past her years. And they had a little mess up and kind of a weird relationship there, because Abraham was like, no, you're my sister. And then she ended up coming back, and then they ended up having the baby. But I wanted this to be kind of like an encouraging type of message, because all of these people had messed up in some way, shape, or form. Moses did some really dumb things in his marriage relationship, but then he ended up having the baby that he was promised, and then had tons of offsprings, right? Noah himself wasn't perfect. He got drunk and ended up in the tent naked. There was a situation with his kid. Moses, you know, when he was walking the people around, he talked to the rock the first time, but then, or he hit the rock. He was supposed to talk to the rock, and he hit the rock. Wasn't supposed to do that. But God still ended up blessing him. But when we go through our everyday, we are going to mess up. Just like that kite, we'll be doing good for a while, and we would just nosedive into the ground. And I just remember that kite, it had so many parts and pieces, and it would shatter, and we'd put it all back together and try again. But just like life, God's right there, that constant wind. God is constant. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you're going through life and you nosedive into the ground, just know that God's right there. He's going to pick you up, and you got to try again. And just like the several verses, just go and do it. So if you haven't failed often, you're not trying new things enough. So go out and try new things. Look for those opportunities. If you don't want to talk about God, that's just Satan trying to butt his way into that conversation. So work on your faith. You know, talk to God constantly. Read the scriptures. Know what He wants. And He will show you things that you've never seen before. But these guys are great examples. And God could really do anything. He really showed me that example of the bow. And, you know, that got me pretty good, because just taking something that could be, you know, a weapon, and He turned it into a promise. And only God could do something like that. So I encourage you that if you slip, You just get back up. God's right there if you slip and fall. And I challenge you to constantly work on your faith, to not just do it for one day, not just do it for 2 days, but make it a real part of your life. When you learn an instrument, they tell you, you know, that you could practice for like a 2 hour clip or whatever it is. And when you're, is what a real teacher would tell you to do is like you make it part of your life. So instead of practicing for 2 hours one day a week, on Monday morning you play for 15 minutes, and then Monday afternoon you play for 15 minutes, and after dinner you play for another 15 minutes, and you just keep doing that. So I believe it's only like if 18 minutes a day is 100 hours for the year. So sounds like a lot, but it's really not that much. So a little bit of a challenge and an encouragement. So work on your faith and go out looking for opportunities. So let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for who you are, all that you've done. We thank you for this little lesson you brought to us today. And I know it worked on me. But please help that we will continue to work in our faith and be faithful and look for opportunities to talk about you and just bring people towards you. And again, we thank you for this time and everyone here. And please bless them accordingly. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.